comes from the book of Mark, chapter 14, verses 42 through 52. Jesus had been praying in the garden after the Last Supper. And at this time he says, "Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who were from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now he who was betraying him had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard." After coming, Judas immediately went to him, saying, "Rabbi," and kissed him. They laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I was with you in the temple teaching. You did not seize me. But this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures." And they all left him and fled. A young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body, and they seized him. But he pulled free of the linen sheet and escaped naked.
Thank you, Ted. Children, you may be dismissed to your classes. So as we're coming up, as we've been doing the 100-day Bible reading challenge as a congregation, as I mentioned during communion, the passage technically does not fall what we normally celebrate for Palm Sunday. But one of the things I have found, and I bet you have found it as well, that is that God is not confined to any calendar. It doesn't matter what calendar it is. Have you noticed that God isn't confined to your calendar? That usually he doesn't check my calendar before he makes decisions on what he's going to do. And it's the same with the church calendar. God's word isn't confined to that we have to have this scripture on this day, because we've been reading the scripture 100 days, going through the book of Mark. And so this is the passage we happen to have with us today. And so it's an interesting scene that's taking place. As Ted shared, Jesus was already in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying. And you see this frustration out of Jesus. Because I want you to see, first of all, there's these two scenes that you have here. So you have the disciples over here, which are Peter, James, and John. And Peter, James, and John are the three inner circle guys. Okay? They're the top of the line. They're the best that Jesus has. Peter, James, and John, they're the best that Jesus has. They're the number one disciples. And then over here you have Jesus, okay? Jesus tells his number one disciples, Peter, James, and John, the one in his inner circle, and said, "Hey, I want you guys to pray. This is a very serious night. This is when it's going to happen. I'm going to die. They're going to come and take me. so could you please come over here and pray? And go over, stay there and pray." Jesus comes over here. He's praying. And I mean, when Jesus prays, you know there's something special about him praying. When he prays earnestly. He prays powerfully. He's the one who prayed. And in this case, he was praying so earnestly that he was sweating drops of blood. Now, I don't know if that's ever happened to anybody here when you pray or not, but that's a very amazing picture that we get of Jesus praying to the point where he is sweating drops of blood. And the reason he was praying so earnestly was because he was saying, now he said, "May this cup if it's possible, may this cup depart from me." And what he's really saying, when you look at the Greek and you look at the interpretation of what he's saying, is, "God, I want to make sure I am in the center of your will. I want to make sure whatever I do, this is the right thing. I'm just after, that's how much I want this. I want this to be whatever it is supposed to be." And that's Jesus praying as he's sweating the drops of blood. It's a very intense scene. How many parents are here this morning? How many employers are here this morning? Supervisors. Anybody who's over somebody else. I'm just going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say, maybe there's been a time where those under you didn't do what you said. I guess it's a rare possibility, because as we all know, everybody does. Every child, every teenager does exactly what they're told. You never even have to repeat it. Every employee you have as a supervisor, they even ask, they just want to make sure they do what you say, because they just want to make sure you are happy. That's all they come to work for, is just to make sure the boss is happy. That's all they care about, right? Right? Have you ever had a situation where you left something to somebody, whether it was your children or teens or maybe an employee, and you left something for them to do, and then later on they had left, and you go back only to find out they didn't do it? I've told you before that years ago, I tried, and I do emphasize the word try, years ago I tried my hand at construction. And the amazing thing was, I grew up, my father was a computer programmer, I had no experience at any type of construction whatsoever. Everything I learned was all inside, it was all office type work, it was all computer stuff. That's pretty much all that I understood, other than the occasional going out and mowing the grass, which I could not stand, and I did everything possible not to do that. But I remember we had a person in our church who owned his own construction company when I was a senior in high school, and everybody went to work for him in the summer of their senior year, and I thought, hey, I can do that. And my father, he was so nice, he tried to tell me. He said, you know, you can try, but I just want to let you know, you're going to have a lot to learn, because you don't know what. I said, yeah, I do. It's going to be easy. And I've shared with you before how much I cost that man money, every single thing that I did. But one thing that took place, though, was when I showed up to work one day, and when I say green, I'm really green, and I know some of you here are experts at this, and so anytime I say it, you're like, oh my goodness, you're ridiculous. Yeah, I was. I completely green. Like, I had no clue what anything was. Nothing. Zero. Construction work had no, I just thought that somehow when you plug something in, it just magically made electricity come. I had no idea what was in the wall or what was actually going on behind the scenes. So the one day that I showed up and the boss was there, he had to go run an errand, and he had this truckload of drywall. And he told me, he said, I don't want you trying to unload this by yourself. Of course, he's going to tell me that. He doesn't want me to destroy anything. But he said, wait till Marcus gets here, and I want you guys to unload this while I'm gone as soon as Marcus gets here. I said, okay, all right, fine. So Marcus gets there, and if you think I was bad, Marcus was worse. So Marcus shows up, and Marcus, we're trying to unload this drywall, and it's pretty heavy. We're not really strong guys, and we take one piece off, and we break off the corner, and we get a little concerned, and Marcus gives me advice, and Marcus says, you know what, I think he's going to be more pleased with us if we wait for him than if we break every single piece. So why don't we wait? You want to talk about a boss getting out of his truck, flaming mad, slamming the door when he finally came back? You don't have that unloaded yet? That's similar to Jesus with the disciples. Guys, I want you to pray. This is it, man. This is it. I'm going to die. They're going to come and get me. Please pray. I'm going to be over here praying. Please pray. I'm earnestly praying over here, sweating drops of blood. This is so big. I want to be in the center of God's will. I want to, okay, all right. I'm going to go over and see how they're doing. And you guys know what they're doing. Yeah. Sleeping. And as you can see in the passage, Jesus wasn't pleased. Jesus was infuriated. Jesus was ticked off. Jesus had it. Jesus is slamming the door of the truck when he comes back, catching what they're doing. And he walks over to them and he says, are you serious? You couldn't even pray for an hour? I'm over here sweating drops of blood, and you guys are... Now just imagine being the Peter, James, and John in that situation, right? Waking up and going, huh? What? What? What were we supposed to? Oh, did he say pray? I can't remember. What was it again? We're supposed to pray. But you see the different scene that is taking place. You see the Peter, James, and John, they're They're not getting it. They don't understand. They probably tried to pray, and then they just relax. And they're not nearly as intense or concerned or even anxious as much about this as Jesus is. Jesus is very much into this thing. And they're just, as usual, they just don't get it. So as the story goes, as we read today, Jesus gets up, and they come for him then. They come for him in the middle of this time, and Peter Mark says that it was somebody, but we know from other Gospels it was Simon. Simon Peter tries to do something to them. Somehow he cuts off the ear, and Jesus actually says to the soldiers, he says, "Hey, what are you guys doing? Am I leading a rebellion here? Did you guys really think that it was needed to bring torches and clubs to come and get me? Every day you heard me teaching and preaching in the marketplace. You know me. You know I'm not violent. Is this really necessary?" And I want you to look at what happens. If we skip ahead to I believe the last slide, please. Or before this one, I'm sorry. "And Jesus said to them, 'Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I was with you in the temple teaching and you did not seize me. But this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures.'" Verse 50, "And they all left him and fled." That's Jesus' disciples. It's his followers. Peter, James, and John, his inner circle, left him and fled. We'll go to the last slide, because this is always the one I get asked about a lot with this. You probably have been asked about it as well. And some of you are experts, so some of you don't even need an explanation, because this is just an interesting two verses, isn't it? It's a very interesting two. Many people have asked me, why is that there? What's the purpose? That doesn't make any sense. What's going on? Well, usually what happens is when we have questions like that is when we take it out of context. When we keep it in context, we can understand what's happening here, because a young man was following him wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body, and they seized him, but he pulled free of the linen sheet and escaped naked. So what does this mean? What's he talking about? Well, first of all, that tells us that there were more than just Peter, James, and John in the vicinity. Unless he's referring to either Peter, James, and John, which we're not certain of. That has been one theory that some have said, that maybe it was one of them. There's also a theory out there that this might have been Mark himself, writing this about himself. Now, as far as who it is, we really don't know the identity. We really don't understand who exactly this is, because they didn't tell us who it is. All we know is that it was one of Jesus' followers. So what's happening here? Well, if you remember what's happening with Peter, James, and John, what were they doing again while Jesus was praying? Sleeping, because it was late, right? And I don't know about you, as I shared with you last week, things have been changing. This all changed all of a sudden and went from black to white. I like to say salt and pepper, but some people say it's nothing but salt. But you know, these changes take place, right? And they pretty much take place overnight. And I've also noticed not just this change, but I also noticed my sleeping patterns changed. And anybody notice in the afternoon there's something called the afternoon crash? And did anybody notice that the older you get, the worse it becomes? You got to be careful not to sit down, right? Because if you sit down, the next thing you know, there's going to be eyes in your face going, "Dad, are you asleep?" Yeah. What do you think? Did you hear me snoring? It was obvious, right? And that's kind of what happens. It's this unintentional, unplanned nap that you end up taking as you get older, because you just start to lose energy. You don't have the energy you used to have. So it's getting late with the disciples, and Peter, James, and John, or whoever else is present, is falling asleep. Most likely what the many commentators believe is that this man had fallen asleep also. That's why he was wrapped in the garment. And then when he gets up, they seize him, and he pulls away, and he leaves, and he has no clothes, and he leaves. Now, what's the point of this? The point of this is talking about the severity of what was taking place. The idea when he says, because this needs to be tied into the verse before it in verse 50, when it says that all of them left him and all of them fled and left, we're talking about fleeing to the point they're not even coming back for their clothes. That's how much they're fleeing, which tells us how serious of an event this is, which tells us how important this moment is, that they are scared to death and gone, fleeing. A very important, major event. And you see, Jesus was trying to get this across to them about how serious this was. And I don't know in your life how many serious events have taken place, but usually what happens is serious events are things that aren't planned. They're not things that are in your calendar. They're not things that you expect. They're actually not things that you hope for. In fact, usually those serious events are those events you hope never happened. And after they do happen, you look back on them and you wish they never did. Right? And some of us may have experienced some of that, but for the most part in our culture, I don't know that we understand that a lot about what serious events really are. I mean, I'll tell you what a serious event was with me recently, was that we, as you know, we had this concert last Sunday, and we had sponsors for the concert. And you probably saw on the screen before the concert, it was Dan Mione Construction, which some of you have had work done, and many of you speak very highly of him. And also, we had Rookies. Anybody remember the picture that was on the slide for Rookies? Yes, some asked, as soon as I walked in, they asked me, did you make that slide? Anybody know why they asked that? Had a big burger right in the front. See, because Rookies is known for that. And some have tried to tell me this before, and I didn't get a chance to get over there yet. It's Rookies on Dairy Street, because I'm saying that because they did sponsor part of the concert, so we want to make sure we advertise them. So when Dan Wise, who put this together, and we really want to give Dan Wise a huge thank you for all the work he put into the concert last week. So if you could just take a moment, just give him a round of applause, even if he's not here today. Let's just say how grateful we are for the work he did and lining up volunteers. But he told me, he said that Rookies was going to be one of the sponsors, and he said, you and Mike, our business manager, he said, you probably should go over and visit over there and speak to him. Well, I guess I had to do my pastoral duty, right? And of course, while I'm there, it'd be rude not to have one of his burgers, right? So it was amazing. It was burger connoisseur type stuff. Like, you go in and they can make this type of burger and all these different things they can put on it for you. It's huge. It's amazing. Rookies on Dairy Street. Those are the serious events in my life. Right? If I could just have that burger. Oh, yeah. It makes everything so much better. Hey, there's Dan right there. Hey, Dan just stuck his head in. Good job last week, Dan. Yeah. But what I'm saying about that is that this was something, you know, that's just something I'm trying to be funny with, the whole idea, those are serious events, but we've all had those events in our life, those bad news things. You know, those bad news things where we're told something and we're thinking, why? Why now? God, what were you thinking? Why is this happening? This wasn't supposed to be like this. That's the way this event was unfolding. See, Jesus is trying to tell, and he's been trying to tell them this before now, and he's been trying to tell them, this is it, guys. This is it. If I've ever needed you before, I need you now, tonight. Please be praying. He goes over, he sweats drops of blood, he comes over, he finds them sleeping. The soldiers come, and what happens? I wouldn't have anything to do with this. All of them fled to the point where it didn't even matter what they left behind. I don't have anything to do with this. I'm out of here. And they all flee. This wasn't too long after one of them, who was actually in the inner circle, said to Jesus, "Even if all fall away, I never." They all fled. So why is this important? Well, it's important because the whole idea of serving Jesus is interesting. You know, a lot of times in the church world, we get accused of bait and switch, or at least I've heard it from some. I don't think a lot of people accuse it of bait and switch because you know, we talk about, hey, come to church, you'll enjoy it, you'll have fun, we're a fun group, and we do have fun here at New Hope, if you haven't noticed. We do have a lot of fun. One thing we love to do here at New Hope is laugh, right? Would you agree with that? Yes. Would you laugh if you agree with that, please? Thank you. Okay, very good. Yes, we do like to have that, and we like to have fun. But I have been told before that sometimes that outreach might be a bait and switch because the whole idea is, hey, come in, enjoy, we have fun, and fellowship, food. You got to have food. How many of you like food? We all eat food. That's why churches have food, so you'll come. That's the whole reason. You know, food, we like that. And then all of a sudden, bam, hey, you got to take up your cross. Whoa, I didn't sign up for this. I want the fun and enjoyment and... So in some ways, it does, at times, might be like a bait and switch. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means that it might be perceived in a wrong way because what's happening with the disciples was, remember, they had left everything they had to follow Jesus. They left everything. He said, hey, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They said, okay. And they left everything behind. Now they're leaving everything behind to get away from him. Why? I didn't sign up for this. You see, Jesus, when you came, we understood you were the Messiah, which means we understood you were going to set up your throne and we were going to be the great ones and the Gentiles were going to, we were going to be, the Jews are going to be put up and the Gentiles and all the Roman guard, the Romans are going to be put down and we're going to be great again because we're God's chosen people because this is all about us and what's going to happen here. And listen, you're going to make it great because you're going to bring in your throne, a military dictator. You're going to make everything great. We're going to get our revenge finally on those Romans. And they were waiting for this to happen over and over. And they didn't get it. And Jesus kept trying to tell them, I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. But I'm going to be raised on the third day. I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. But I'm going to be raised on the third day. And they were, what? What do you mean you're going to die? You're our king. You're the military dictator. No one's going to kill you, Jesus. What are you? And you can see they never really believed him, did they? Because if they would have believed him, I'll tell you what, they would not have fallen asleep. They would have been praying just as earnestly as he is. So what's the point to this? Well, the point of this whole thing, Mark's message from the beginning has been to demonstrate and to show who the Messiah is and to demonstrate and show who Jesus is. And by doing this, he's showing them the importance of who Christ is, but he's showing also the reactions everybody had to Jesus. Everything that he did was questioned. The Pharisees questioned it. The church leaders questioned it. The disciples questioned it. They never got it. And this is it, guys. This is it. This is what the whole thing's all about. And what do? We're out of here. Why? Because I didn't sign up for this. I've known people who have fled Christ before. You probably have too. I've known people who have followed Jesus for a long time and then all of a sudden turn and almost every single time, the reason they flee, I didn't sign up for this. Jesus, if this is the way it's going to be, I'm not going to follow you anymore. Jesus, why'd you let this? Jesus, you allowed this in my, you could have stopped this and you didn't, no, I'm gone. I'm not. Or the reality is that when it comes to the cross, when it comes to the scene of the cross, that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where Jesus says, This is where I need you. So what I want to ask today is, there might be some of you who might be facing something right now that I might have been referring to, something that's difficult, something you never thought was going to happen, something you had no clue that God would ever allow it, and maybe just, there might be a possibility, you just might be on the verge of fleeing. You just might be on the verge of saying, I don't want this. Or maybe you're here today and maybe you're saying, you know, Chad, that's not me. I mean, things seem to be going okay. I don't have anything that serious of an event taking place, and I'm fine. I don't have any inkling of fleeing. I don't want to flee. I'm not interested in fleeing. Okay, well, here's the application for you. The application for you then is that, Jesus, I'm with you no matter what. So whatever happens in the future, whatever takes place that I don't even understand or I don't even know what's going to happen or whatever takes place, it doesn't matter. I'm with yours. I'm with you the whole way. That's what Mark's teaching is saying. Is that when it comes down to this, when it comes down to the rubber meeting the road, when it comes down to the cross, when it comes down to this serious moment, that there's nothing, that it's all, I'm all for Jesus. And I'm not going to flee, regardless of what my circumstances are. I've always, every time I've given my testimony to teens or to adults, I've always put it in one way, and I've heard others put it this way too. I've heard them say, you know what, I believe it was about this time, I believe it was about this age where I started taking my life with Christ seriously. And I think that's what Mark is getting at here, is that there comes a time where we have to take our walk with Christ seriously. Instead of in and out, up and down, and maybe, maybe not, and I'm kind of there, but I'm kind of not. There comes a time where we say, you know what, I'm in this, and I'm in it for good. And I'm in it for the long haul. I'm with Jesus through eternity. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth and for everything that you mean to us. And we ask, God, today that you would help all of us to be the people that you want us to be committed to you, to be right there with you, even when things are tough, even when we don't understand. That we would follow you through thick and thin, no matter what comes our way. That we would never even consider fleeing and leaving you. Jesus, show each of us what this means today. And we ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Your son. Down here to pray with anybody who would like to be prayed with. Lord Jesus, go with us now. Continue to show us what it means to follow you and to be your disciple. We ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus.